Welcome back to Insight Live on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Misha Youssef is a podcast producer at KPCC, the NPR affiliate in Los Angeles. She is Pakistani-American. And that's an important fact to know because her new podcast explores the everyday experience of people who are Muslim. Here's a bit of the trailer for the podcast.
I saw parts of myself in chefs, actors, fashion icons, skateboarders, rappers, comedians, astronomers, and scholars. People my parents' age, my grandparents' age, my age. And starting Monday, you'll get to meet these people too. One every weekday this Ramadan.
Well, this is that Monday, and this is the first weekday of Ramadan, and Misha Youssef is with us from KPCC in Los Angeles. Her podcast is titled Tell Them I Am. Hi, Misha. Glad to have you on the program.
Hi, Beth. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with that title, Tell Them I Am. How does that apply to you and your life?
So where it comes from is a passage in the Bible, which I read when I was 16 years old, and it's an important moment in all three Abrahamic religions. It's when Moses is in Sinai and sees a burning bush and hears what is supposed to be the voice of God. And that voice doesn't identify itself, and Moses asks the voice, who are you? And the voice responds, I am, I am. And when I read the passage, I found it really fascinating, especially because up until that point, I had been wrestling with one of my identities as a Muslim American and trying to figure out what it meant to be Muslim, especially because I felt that I was more culturally and not as religiously Muslim. And I did not see a lot of Muslims have the opportunity to tell their own stories, to be able to exist outside of categories, to transcend category. And I wanted to do that personally, and I wanted to create a platform for other people to do that. So that's how the title came about, and kind of a little bit what it means to me.
So is this for you a bit of an opportunity to explore how other people are living their Muslimness, part culturally, part religiously, in hopes that you could learn from them?
No, not at all, actually. I think the premise of the podcast is a little bit tricky. So I don't know if you've seen Hamilton, but I have kind of seen this as like Hamiltoning a podcast where every single guest just happens to be Muslim, and they get to tell stories about a moment in their life that defines who they are. Now, they might talk about being Muslim, but it's not a requirement of the podcast. So it's not an exploration of the Muslim experience or the guest's Muslimness in any way whatsoever. It's kind of understood that that's something that informs who they are, and they self-identify either as culturally or religiously Muslim, but this is an opportunity for them to kind of transcend that and define themselves as something in addition to or outside of just being Muslim.
I think I should back up, Misha, and have you say a bit about Ramadan. It continues for 22 days. This podcast is going to continue through the duration of Ramadan, but explain a bit about what it is, and do you observe it yourself?
Yeah, so I am fasting right now. And because I've been so stressed out about the podcast, I kind of intermittently slept and woke up and slept and woke up. Was barely able to get prepared this morning, but for Ramadan, not for the show. But Ramadan is considered to be a holy month for most observing Muslims, and people generally fast for 30 to 31 days from sunrise to sundown. But more than just a religious experience or a spiritual experience, Ramadan is also a time of community. And from what I have seen, it is also a time when Muslim Americans have a lot of spotlight in the media. So a lot of content is being created about or for us, supposedly. But a lot of times what we do see is kind of like, you know, Islam 101 or we're Muslim, 9/11, terrorism, Trump, Islamophobia, hijab. things that you kind of buzzwords that we've heard over and over again. So we wanted to create something this Ramadan that was celebratory in nature, that allowed people to talk about joyful experiences or, you know, major moments in their lives that say something about who they are as human beings.
And sometimes I've heard you say there is what you call a standard lens through which Muslim Americans are viewed. And I want to hear more about what that standard lens might be, but I really want to hear it through your own experience, a time or a moment when you felt maybe that you were categorized in that way.
I think something that surprises people when I first meet them, and if I openly talk about being Muslim, which has been rare up until this point, is that I don't wear a headscarf. And it's really interesting because I grew up in Pakistan, and I moved here when I was 12. And when I was growing up in Pakistan, wearing a hijab was not common at all. In fact, the majority of the women around me were uncovered. And so when I moved to the United States, seeing so many people wearing hijabs was surprising. And then seeing that be synonymous with being Muslim was also surprising. And people asking me, why do you not wear a headscarf, just kind of like was not a question that I expected when I would talk about being Muslim. I think another thing that surprised people is that I'm allowed to date or that I drink. Or that, you know, there are queer people who are Muslim. I think the experience, there's 1.5 billion Muslim people in the world, and one person's experience is so drastically different than another person's. And so I think to see a group of people through a standard lens, no matter who the group is just kind of wild, you know?
You're listening to Misha Youssef, and she's a podcast producer at KPCC in Los Angeles. She's talking about a new podcast that launched today. It's called Tell Them I Am. And because of what you just said, let me reference one of the stories in the first week about a teenager who was boy crazy and then trying not to let her parents know how boy crazy she was. Will you say a little more about this, and then we're going to hear a clip?
Yeah, this is one of my absolute favorite stories. I literally laugh until I cry. I think all of us have a dating story in our lives where we've kind of discovered something about who we are. And this week's story, or this particular story that you're about to play, is from Najma Sharif, who is a writer. And she was really just trying to hang out with as many boys as possible back in middle school and high school. And this little clip talks about the ways in which she would avoid getting detected by her parents. First of all, she and all her friends change all the guys' names in their phones to girl names.
So I never had guy names in my phone because I just didn't want, like, a text popping up and then getting in trouble for talking to, like, one of the many Muhammads in town. Like, who had time for that? I didn't.
She definitely sneaks out a handful of times.
I wasn't really good about sneaking out. I mean, I did it a few times, but that was always more difficult because you never knew when you'd come back and driving and stuff and whatever.
More often, though, it's just easier for her to sneak boys in.
I had, like, my room in the basement, and I would just kind of, like, open my window, and they just slip in.
And here's the crazy thing. She gets away with everything. She's so good at hiding stuff and talking her way out of things that she has a near-perfect track record. Her parents even trust her.
Near perfect is the important phrase there.
Yeah. But yeah, and you hear a little, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's an example of how we're not talking to someone to say, this is how a Muslim American young woman might experience dating. We're just talking to someone about their dating experiences. And the universal part of that is that everybody has a crazy story like that, no matter where you grew up or how you grew up.
Yeah, I think we've all tried to avoid our parents finding out what we're doing in our teenage years. I mean, my little brother is 14 years old, and he just started dating somebody a couple of months ago. And my parents had no idea for the first 2 weeks, which is like the lifespan of a teenage relationship, you know? So I think that's kind of the important part of this podcast, is each one of these stories are just about a defining moment in the guest's life. And if they touch upon being Muslim, that's super cool and you learn something new. But most of them don't. Most of them are just, you know, their life experience.
But when you reached out to people, and this is a star-studded podcast, there's quite an A-list of voices that we do hear. Did you say, I want to hear your life stories? We're only hearing from people who have this Muslim American experience. How did you position it? And was it tough to get the yeses?
I think once we got people on the phone, it was pretty easy to explain what we were trying to do. And a lot of people related. So one of our guests, she's a gay Muslim woman. And I remember when I first spoke with her, she was like, oh, my God, thank God you're not asking about the gay Muslim thing, you know, which especially with celebrities, they tend to get asked the same questions over and over again. And so even beyond being Muslim, they're being pigeonholed as people. So it was very refreshing for a lot of our guests. And one of them actually, you know, walked into the studio and told us that he had never told anybody the story that he told us before.
Which was that? Who was that?
Reza Aslan, who, you know, has been a religious scholar, a TV personality, has written several books. He came into the studio with his wife, and he was telling us that she was surprised that he was talking about the story because she'd never heard it. Nobody had asked him about it.
Is that the story he tells? We're going to play a clip, and I don't know if this is it, but I have a hunch that maybe it is.
Yeah.
It's strange because this story itself is one that has always existed in the kind of dark corners of my brain. In fact, it occurred to me on the way to the studio that I had never told this story to my wife. And I think partly that has to do with what happened next, which was this massive, dramatic revolution that overturned the government of the Shah, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, and transformed Iran to this day. I have these images, right? It's almost like a slideshow in my brain. These frozen moments of the apartment and the alleyway.
Misha, what else did he say about that experience of telling the story, of just taking that thing that was inside of him and making it concrete on the outside world?
I think it was therapeutic for a lot of our guests to be able to talk about experiences that they don't normally get to talk about. Reza, if you listen to the episode, I won't give too much away, but Reza actually talked about how that feeling that he got from that one particular moment that he shares in the podcast resonates to this day with him as a person. And so being able to talk about it in the outside world in that way and being able to go back to that one moment where it all started, I think also allows him to kind of contextualize who he is in the public sphere, you know, as a scholar and as a TV personality and author. And I was just texting with one of our guests who's a chef, Rima Seal, in Oakland, actually. Mm. And she was saying that she's so curious to hear her episode because she felt like, you know, the whole interview was like a therapy session. And a lot of the guests felt that way, and we felt that way while we were going through that experience, too, because you're trying to get to an important moment in someone's life without doing all the hard work of having known them for decades.
Would you describe that this was an idea that took at least a few years to evolve to this point? It wasn't just something that you brainstormed over the past year and just started recording.
No, not at all. I had been marinating this idea in my brain for 4 years. And then I saw Hamilton. That was particularly inspiring, seeing Black Panther. There was something there that was happening with a cast of all the same people as though it was completely normal. And then I was lucky enough to have my boss, Arwen Nix, take a chance on the show. And we submitted to the NPR Story Lab the first week I was hired, and ended up getting the chance to really develop the idea at NPR headquarters. And then over the course of the year, you know, there are so many different things that have changed. And originally, we were going to just find voices of Muslim Americans and not necessarily target celebrities. And then it transformed into what it is today.
So you've already produced a number of the episodes. Who's in the podcast? And I mentioned that you do have some celebrity list, but I think you have a cross-section of people from not only all ages and stages, but professions too.
Yeah, so today's episode is actually one of my personal heroes, Tan France from Queer Eye. Mm-hmm. And we have Mercedes Iman Diamond, who was on RuPaul's Drag Race. We have astronomers, a woman named Munaza Alam, whose story is especially touching and one of my personal favorites. We have chefs, we have rappers, we have actors, writers, and another thing that we emphasized was kind of ethnic and racial and age diversity, too. We wanted to make sure that you got to hear from people who weren't just millennials, because we're millennials and we tend to have a millennial bias, but also people who were older. Our oldest guest is in his 70s. He was a career diplomat, and his story is you know, just as touching as all the others.
I'll let everyone know, again, the podcast is titled Tell Them I Am. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. We'll also post a link on our website. Misha, I want to get back to just asking you personally, in this experience of fasting, in taking, you know, more than an hour or a day in your life, taking 30 days to kind of explore a different framing day in, day out, do you want something out of Ramadan? Does it have a purpose, or are you waiting for that to unfold?
I think every Ramadan is different for me. I think this year often it's for me less about a religious experience and more about spirituality and self-control and just learning to be a better person and find energy from places that are more essential. Rather than things like social media or food or drinking. And it's I'm great in bursts. So it's the one time where I get to practice that self-control in one extended period. And I know other people are doing it with me, which makes it much more of a communal experience. But I don't know yet what I'll get out of this Ramadan. I think it's especially important this year because this show is out in the world. And I wonder how those two things will intertwine and what it'll mean for me.
What might people get from this series? What kind of dialogue do you think it might prompt?
I think people are going to feel something. I think people are going to laugh. They're going to fall in love with these guests, whether or not they want to. And I hope, at least, that people are able to break this concept of Muslims as a monolith. Our guests are so vastly different in who they are, what they do, where they live, who they love, not just from non-Muslims, but from each other. And I think Muslims need to see that diversity and those hear those stories just as much as non-Muslims do. I think sometimes it's hard to see humanity in other people.
In a version of the question that I asked you earlier when I said, what does the Tell Them I Am title mean for you? You've also said that you're a millennial. So in that way, what are you learning from the people that you've talked to about this work that you have, the voice that you have, how you're already using it, and how that's already been embraced?
Yeah, I think I'm glad I'm finally talking about being Muslim. I think my parents' generation had a very specific idea of being Muslim, maybe thrust upon them, or maybe they weren't able to break out and show the nuances of what it means. And I think my generation is in a very lucky position where we get to live outside of 9/11 and Islamophobia and religious Islam and the perils of, you know, immediate immigration. A lot of us are second generation, third generation immigrants, and we get to kind of go beyond just what does it mean to be Muslim in America? And we get to happen to be Muslim to some extent. So I am feeling very validated in that way, that as young people, as young Muslims, we should be talking about our experiences, even if we're afraid to, even if our experiences seem different than what is normal or what is considered to be a good Muslim experience.
Thank you, Misha.
Thank you, Beth.
I think that since you are still in production, you should take what you just said and incorporate it somehow into one of the future episodes, because it was succinct, it was thoughtful, and I think when you listen back to what you just said, there was a lot in there for a lot of us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you with us. Good luck with the podcast, and we'll talk with you again, okay?
Okay. Take care.
KPCC podcast producer Misha Youssef. And we have also posted a few links to some past stories done by Cap Radio staffers, some projects that involved Andrew Nixon. They focus on Ramadan, so you can find those links as well. And the link to the new podcast, Tell Them I Am. It's all at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.